Oops, we'll start this. Hello, my name is Father Boniface. I'm a Benedictine priest and monk of St. Vincent Archabbey in La Trobe, Pennsylvania, and such a pleasure to talk with our bishop, Bishop Edward Malesic of the Diocese of Greensburg. Bishop, thanks for taking the time.
Oh, Father Boniface, it's tremendous to be here with you again in Baltimore, because I see you so often when I visit St. Vincent's in La Trobe, which is 8 miles away from where I live. So it's good to have you in a different part of the world and be together with you here.
Bishop, I wanted to talk to you a little bit in the midst of crises and problems and scandals, and which are all very important and deserve the attention that they're getting. I think it's important also to lift up some of the good work that the church is doing. And certainly one of the great things that you have initiated in the Diocese of Greensburg is some pastoral care for those who are struggling with drugs, drug addiction, families, relatives. And you wrote the first pastoral letter, I think, on the opioid crisis.
One of the first.
Yeah,
it might have been number two or three. I wasn't following what everyone else was doing. I was just trying to take stock of what's happening in the Diocese of Greensburg. And I had heard from a number of pastors. It became very clear to me soon after I arrived in 2015 that there was a problem in Western Pennsylvania. As pastors would say to me, I just buried another young person, and I would say, why did that person die? And they would say, a drug overdose. And also, as I was making my pastoral visits around the diocese when I first came, people come up and say to me, oh, pray for my son, pray for my daughter. And I thought, usually it's because they've left the church. So I'd ask them, why do you want me to pray for your son or your daughter? And they would say, I think they're going to die of their addiction. I think that I'm going to wake up one day and learn that my son died of a drug overdose. So I began to put all those things together, and some statistics started to come out, which were amazing. Like over 300 people in a year were dying in the Diocese of Greensburg because of opioid overdose. I said, we need to do something about this. This is now a crisis. So I assembled a group of experts to advise me on what can the church do. We don't need to repeat what social agencies are doing. We don't need to repeat what the state is doing. But what can the church do? And they still gather, and they still give me advice. They give me great advice, because I think this is it wasn't meant to be a flash in the pan. It wasn't meant to be, let's write one letter and then we'll be done with it. Because I think this will be a long-lasting, slow-burning crisis in Western Pennsylvania and indeed around the country. The first thing that they urged me to do was to write that pastoral letter and to get out some good information to our parishes. And in that pastoral letter, I wrote what they said that the church does best, and that is we pray and we educate. And that's been very true.
Beautiful. And how has the progress been in terms of praying and educating, and as you've stepped even more into this space?
Right. The first thing was to gather together for 7 listening sessions throughout the diocese. And what we wanted to do at each of those listening sessions was to educate. So we spent about a half hour educating on what addiction is, what opioid addiction is, some of the statistics, some of the signs. And then we spent another half hour listening to people respond and tell their stories. And then we finished, then the next half hour would have been prayer. We went to the church and prayed, and then we would gather for social. All of that was amazing, because we begin to teach people that addiction can happen to any person. And there's many roads to addiction. It can be physical pain that leads to medicine, that leads to overuse, that leads to abuse. It can be peer pressure, and a lot of times it is peer pressure. And that the first decision to take a major opioid drug might be an act of free will. So if a person's at a party and someone offers them a hit of heroin, that decision is a is a moral decision. It's you know, it's a wrong decision. It's a decision to do something wrong. So they have to make that decision, and they make the wrong decision. But once that drug, I always think that an opiate is like a sticky drug. Once that drug gets into the brain and changes the receptors and changes the biology of a person's brain, that brain now craves the opioid like the brain craves water or air. And the freedom is taken away. So we begin to help people understand that at that point it becomes a disease, and it's something that we have to treat. And it's something that we shouldn't necessarily be ashamed of. We shouldn't stigmatize these people who suffer from addiction. We should help them. From the church's perspective, it's also a spiritual problem. The reason someone goes after a drug a lot of times, not in every case, again, there are many roads to addiction, but it's to make themselves feel better or fit in. They want something more, they want happiness, and they think this drug will give that to them. Because we believe that only God's going to give happiness, right, and that there's a whole space within each person that only God can fill, and a drug is not going to satisfy that. So I think the best treatment centers out there, in my experience, have been those that put the biological component and the spiritual component together to treat the whole person. There's a place called Spirit Life, as you know, in Penn Run, outside of Indiana, Pennsylvania, that does that so well. There's a few places in the United States that are based on the Chinakalo method community, where people who are in recovery gather together in community for, you know, a year, 2 years, and more, so that they can live, you know, that early church experience and support one another in prayer and gain strength from adoration of the Blessed Sacrament and by holding things in common, and which was the ingenuity of the Holy Church guided by the Spirit, which is part of the Benedictine Spirit, I think, too, but anyway.
Yes. Can you say a little more about the Spirit Life Center?
The Spirit Life Center was founded by a man who, I think he had a team of people actually that helped him put it together, who had an experience of a family member, a close family member, who had suffered from addiction. And he felt that the average treatment center was not really being all that helpful. And he wanted to add his Catholic faith and his Catholic belief to the treatment of those who suffer from addiction. And he was a very courageous man, a very persistent man, and found a place that was owned by the Orthodox Church. It really looks like a hotel, and had a nearby chapel that he was able to lease. I believe he's leased it or purchased it, I'm not sure, and has treated hundreds of people since. So I have a friend who was a former parishioner who fell into addiction, a young guy who had been to three different secular treatment programs. And he eventually reached out to me, and I'd call him back, and he said, but there's really no hope for me. I've done this so many times, you know, and he tried to be clean, but he wasn't staying clean for more than 2 or 3 days. Because when a person goes through withdrawal, it's like having the flu times 10 or 20. It's awful. So anyway, I said, why don't you try Spirit Life? And he said, you know, I don't really practice my faith anymore, and I don't know that that's going to help me. I don't really believe in religion, and I just don't see that as helping. I said, well, it's not going to hurt. So anyway, he went, visited him about a week or two after he was there, looked really happy, looked really good, and we sat together, and he said that one of the first things he was given was a rosary. And he said he hadn't prayed a rosary in years. And that just by knowing that people cared about more than getting money for a treatment program to pay their own bills, they were worried about his spirit. They were worried about his soul. I think he spent a couple months there, and he's been clean for about a year now. His mom keeps in touch with me.
Beautiful.
So, you know, I obviously, again, it's that space that only God can fill that I think that young man felt. So it was both a combination of a spiritual retreat, a detox, a training program of how you stay away from using drugs. He also went into a new town where his friends couldn't entice him to go back to his old ways. So all those things come together to make a successful program. Spirit Life has the ability to do that. I think the ones that are the most successful are the ones who are going to bring religion into it. An interesting sidebar is a professor at St. Vincent's, Dr. Eric Koshin, did a study, and he said that I think it was 95% of those who saw a spiritual counselor, the priest, a minister, a rabbi, found that to be most effective. In fact, that was one of the most effective things that people who have recovered said was important to them.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
So it's not the sole solution, but it's a necessary part of the solution.
Yeah. If you look at the whole person, if all you do is treat the soul and not the body, that's not going to work. If you just treat the body, not the soul, not going to work. You have to treat the whole person.
And I really love the way that the church seems to shine in this space, and that you've brought these things together, not in competition with, not in conflict with, but very much in cooperation with secular approaches.
You know, we Catholic Charities has partnered with each of the four counties, I believe, in the Diocese of Greensburg, some more than others, but we have a representation certainly in Westmoreland County and Fayette County now. Westmoreland County helped us to train our pastors and staff of our parishes to recognize the signs of addiction, to know what helps were out there, where to refer people who come saying, I suffer from addiction or my child suffers from addiction. We've helped our parishes to know what programs they can put together. And a lot of good things are happening in the Diocese of Greensburg. There's Narcotics Anonymous meeting in some places. There's all kinds of different ministries happening out there. Especially, it's not just to those who are addicted, but to their families who don't know, you know, how to deal with a person who's living with them who is addicted, like a son or a daughter, who might be tempted to steal. And so how do you show tough love? How do you get that person the right help? How do you not enable that person and then not feel guilty when sometimes you have to do tough things to encourage them to find the help that they need?
Bishop Mlesek, thanks for a little good news.
Yeah, no, there's a lot of good things happening. A lot of good things happening.
I love the last sentence of your pastoral letter. Jesus can and wants to use his church to move our communities from being places of death and despair to places of life and hope.
Absolutely. With the Lord, I mean, you do. The Lord just gives us so much hope. The Lord is powerful. Prayer is so powerful. Prayer, we believe, not only works miracles for other people, but it changes and opens our hearts to want to help those people. And that's the hope. The hope is Jesus working within us to touch these people who need our help and need the Lord's love.
Can you lead us in a little prayer as we wrap up?
Sure. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for the beauty of life. We give you thanks for giving us that desire to seek you and to seek the love that is so powerful in our lives. We ask you to fill our hearts so that we might be good instruments of your presence to those who are most in need. Expand our hearts to be more caring, more loving, more able to see where people are hurting and understand how we can help them. We pray for our brothers and sisters who suffer from addiction of any kind and for their loved ones, Lord. Touch them with your healing hand. You are the divine physician. We ask you to bring peace and health to all those in need of your care. We ask this through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen. Bishop Mlesek, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you, Father.